Morning Church, and we're going into our second part of our new series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at the subject of joy today. Let me remind you of what Galatians 5 says in verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. In this period of COVID-19, there's been many doors closed to us. Many of our aspirations and dreams have not come to pass in this season because we've been locked in and locked out of things that we would just love to be doing or be a part of, and life has been curtailed. But one thing that isn't curtailed in your life is this: God's discipleship plan for your life. And the Lord still wants to work in you and through you, that you become like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this series is about keeping our focus in that. It's about keeping our hearts and mind on what the Lord has planned for us. And I want to remind you that the fruit of the Spirit is produced from the inside out. It is the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And as we abide in Him, we want to be able to see this fruit produced within our lives. How do you abide? Well, we looked at that last Sunday. We abide by submitting our whole lives to the Lord. We come under His authority. We come under His love. We come under His power. We yield ourselves to His leadership within our lives. And of course, we feed on His Word, His precious Word. It's knowing His Word helps us to grow in our most holy faith and develop in our faith also. We need to keep the dialogue going all the time. We need to talk to the Lord about where we are in this work of discipleship and this change of our lives to be like Jesus. I hope this week you've been talking to the Lord about love and how you can develop love more in your life. And are you doing the type of love that God has, agape love, or agape love as we call it, to be able to love in that way where there is great benevolence, that we focus on committing ourselves to be faithful in love just the way the Lord has loved us. We want to keep that dialogue of prayer going, and also, of course, to worship God in those psalms and those songs of our heart that draw us near to the Spirit of God, to help us to worship Him. We need to allow the Spirit to produce that fruit. And this morning, as I say, we're going to look at the fruit of joy. So I want you to turn with me to another reading this morning. If you've your Bible in front of you, turn to John chapter 5, and we're going to read a few verses out of chapter 15 this morning. John 15, and it says this in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let's read that again. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. So what is biblical joy? Well, in the Old Testament, there are a few words for joy, and one of those words is rinnah, and it's found in Psalm 30, verse 5. And basically, joy means a shout of rejoicing, shouting loud, a cheering of triumphal singing. So basically, it's that time when there's victory in life and you just want to give a great shout out because you're so joyful inside. The same word in Hebrews also means rejoicing, and it's found in Zephaniah 3 and 17. And Zephaniah 3 and 17 says this: the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. It is literally saying that the Lord dances over his beloved people and he sings with a shout of joy over us. Habakkuk 3 and 18 says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." And the Hebrew for joy here is the word gil, and it means basically to rejoice, to be glad. It contains the suggestion of dancing for joy or leaping for joy. It literally means, the verb means, to spin around with intense motion and enjoy praise. Now that hits the notion on the head that joy is just an inner quietness that we go through life with. It's an outer expression of joy as well. So we have seen that our Heavenly Father sings with joy over us. Then in Psalm 21 verse 1, there are those who see this. It talks about the king, and it talks about the king rejoicing over salvation. And although it was written off David, it's basically, some would say that this is prophetic about Jesus coming as our king and being joyful about the work of salvation. In Psalm 149 verses 2-3, it tells us that we should be joyful in our King, praising him with dances, instruments, and with singing. Now, before the grace killers tell us that that is just emotionalism, get them to read again the book of Habakkuk and find how he was leaping for joy and the fellowship with Yahweh, even though his external situation was so wrong and so bad, he still leapt with joy when he thought of his amazing God. Godly joy is not based upon our outward circumstances or our inward mood. It's an overflow of who he is and what the Lord has done for us. And joy didn't change when it came to the New Testament either. The Greek word for joy is chara, and it means a calm delight, to gladness, greatly exceeding joyfulness. So we see the two there. There's the inner joy and there's the outward expression of joy. So let's just work through now the purpose of a child of God having joy manifest in their life by the power of the Holy Spirit, having joy as a characteristic, being known as a joyful person. Well, it's for true relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to become like him, and he is joy. Remember that prophecy from Psalm 21 and verse 1 about how Christ rejoiced with the plan of salvation. Hebrews 12 verse 2 tells us that he endured the cross even with joy. Even though he knew he would go through suffering and pain for you and me, for our salvation, he would suffer death. Yet he went to the cross with great joy because he knew what that would achieve. It would achieve a relationship with you and with me. So therefore, with we fellowship with him at that same level, we want to be joyful people as he is our joyful Savior. We want to rejoice. We want to have joy with him as he has joy over us. And we just have to consider what the Lord has done for us. When we think that he saved us, he left the splendor of heaven and he came to this earth to die in our place, and he gave us all for us. He has delivered us. He's keeping us. He's loving us. He's caring for us. He's looking after our need. He's concerned with everything to do with our lives. That in itself allows us to be joyful about the Savior that we have. It's like the Ethiopian eunuch when he, after giving his life to the Lord, it says that he went on his way rejoicing. And you can find that in Acts chapter 8, verse 39. You know, the reason why some people don't have joy in their salvation is they haven't quite caught on yet to how the Father has joy over them. And maybe in their life they've had no one who has expressed joy about them or for them, or shown an outward sense of gladness about that person's life. Nobody has leaped over them. But yet we see the promises of the Bible, the promises of God's word, and he does not lie. He is singing and rejoicing over us. We are his delight. And we need to respond to that joy in the same way. If we were to look at our text again in John 15, this amazing love that the Lord has shared with us, he wants us to have that joy and his joy, and that the joy in us therefore would be complete. This joy comes about because of his love for us. I'm going to tell you something, but don't be telling anybody. I remember the first night I kissed my Donna, and I can still see myself walking, running and leaping along the King's Road because I had kissed my girl. And you know, friends, if anybody had seen me that night, they'd have thought that young man has lost the plot. But I was so joyful about kissing my Donna. Solomon 1 and 2 says this: let him kiss with the kisses of his mouth. If Christ has joy over us because of his love, we can have joy because of this amazing love that the Father, that the Son and the Holy Spirit has over my life and your life. We need the fruit of the Holy Spirit developing in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and allowing that to become such a part of our character so that we can truly represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the joy giver. And look even how the scripture talks about when Jesus was announced to this world, look the way he was announced. Luke 2, 10 to 11. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Even the wise men responded with the sign of the promise with exceeding great joy. So guys, we need to have the joy of our salvation, this promise of life because of what the Lord has done in us and is doing through us. Let our salvation be marked with joy because it is a great joy. James Barclay commented on the whole thing about joy, especially of the joy of the Samaritans being saved by the gospel. And he said this: it is a counterfeit Christianity which brings the atmosphere of gloom. The real thing radiates joy wherever it goes. And he goes on to say, there would seem to be many counterfeit churches in this sense this day. I can think of dozens of places to go to commiserate with each people that you gather with rather than on a hard church pew. Why do Christians sometimes their faces not match up to their experience? Sometimes it is a wee bit like, I've got the joy of the Lord, but it's deep, deep down in my heart. Well, some of us need to activate that joy, because some people think it's not Christianity we have, but it's digestion. Friends, we should be the happiest people on earth, all because of what the Lord has done for us. He has chosen us. He has called us. He calls us precious. He calls us his own. He's called us out of darkness into his light. He's called us to be followers. We are a chosen people. And that's why we should delight in him, and delight that we have been forgiven of sin and we have a hope for the future. We have a heavenly home, and today we should be joyful about our experience within our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, friends, I'm not being flippant in all that I said just there now, because I do not want to make it out either that this faith that we have is a bed of roses. Come to Jesus, and all your problems are going to be sorted out, and life's just going to be one big bed of roses. We know that that is not the truth. Our witness for Christ, but still should be such that no matter what we experience, no matter what we go through, we still can show joy because we know he holds the future and we know that he holds our hand. Jesus taught himself, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake," but goes on to say this, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We know that this walk with Jesus, although we have this closeness with a wonderful God who's as close as the mention of his name, and we have this intimacy of relationship as we walk through this world, we know that there will be people in this world who will persecute us for our faith because we claim to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes that hurts. But we've always somewhere to go in our inner being with the Holy Spirit where we find the comfort and his joy in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of sorrow. Philippians 4:4 encourages, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." I'm letting you into all our re-romance secrets. But Donna and I, on our wedding rings, have the word always. And when we sign off cards or read letters to each other, we always sign it always. Love always. And that was our commitment, that we would love each other always. Not just for the sense of a long period of time always, but in always we would try to love one another. And our God loves us always, in all things. He is loving us and he is there for us. And that's why we can rejoice in him, because he will not fail us and he will not let us go, no matter what circumstance we face. We're all not called to be governed by our internal or external circumstances. But we are, knowing that we are governed internally and for eternity by one who holds all things together in his name, who controls all things, who has written an amazing book, and we know what's going to happen at the end. We have assurance of salvation and assurance of his presence that will go with us everywhere we go. And for that, no matter what we face, we can rejoice in his almighty presence. Do you know the Apostle Paul expressed grief about missing loved ones? He expressed his pain of friends who deserted him and friends that he lost. He went on to express, pain about his lack of freedom at time. But 2 Corinthians 6:10 tells us, our hearts ache, but we always have joy. The Apostle Paul was saying, yes, I'm facing this issue. I'm facing this problem and my heart is aching. But yet I have this internal, eternal joy because the Lord abided within him and he was abiding with God. He acknowledged his pain and his sorrow about his circumstances, but could rejoice in the one again who was holding all things together, and he was not allowing the pain of what he went through at times to define him or to allow that in any way to curtail the joy that was within, because the Spirit of God was the one that he was yielding to. Paul and Silas, even after they were expelled, after being persecuted in Poseidon, Antioch, they said of the disciples that they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You see, friends, can you see where the fruit is coming from in our lives? It's coming because we depend on the one who is living within us, who wants to pour living waters out of us. And it's the Spirit of God that we yield to, that we worship and we listen to allow us to have this fruit in our lives and not be dictated to by the circumstances that sometimes we face. There was a pastor who had been preaching at a conference, and he had really ministered through his teaching to this man who, because of the teaching, had really transformed his Christian experience. But his friend wrote to him about this guy to say that he had brain cancer, that he was in the hospital, and he was dealing with the pain and dealing with, obviously, the hard regime of being in hospital and the sickness and the treatment, all of those things. But he wrote to him to tell him that one of the nurses had observed something one day, and that they had written a critical comment on this guy's card. But this guy had expressed the fact that his friend, even though he was going through this brain cancer, going through this cancer, that his faith, because of the teaching that he had received, his faith was alive, his faith was well. He was doing amazing in his walk with the Lord Jesus. And this nurse one day wrote a critical comment on his chart, and it was this: Mr. X is inappropriately joyful. Mr. X is inappropriately joyful. And the guy who wrote the letter to this pastor had said, "It has become one of my goals to be inappropriately joyful." The person that was suffering from the brain cancer was not rejoicing that they had cancer, or rejoicing in the awful sickness that they would go through with all the treatment that they would face. But they were rejoicing that God was with them. God was their helper. The Lord went before them and after. They were underneath the shadow of his wings. He was upholding that guy, and there was the promise of eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Church, today, we are really living in uncertain days. Every time you put on the news, it's really doom and gloom. Today, even, we've heard about there's more job threat. Some of us know that our homes could be on the line, our jobs can be on the line. It's impacting our economy, which will have an impact on each and every individual, which can have an impact on our mental well-being. It can have an impact on our physical health. But as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is where joy comes in. Because no matter what the external is, we still have our Lord Jesus Christ, who's holding all things together in his name, which means he holds us and our circumstances. And that is why we can have this joy, that spirit within will help us conquer in all things, rejoicing in his presence as he walks with us and in us through each storm that would come against us. But what about today if you've already lost your joy? What about today in the circumstance that you're facing, you just feel you have no joy? Friends, I've been there as well. What can we do? Well, the Bible gives us a solution to that as well. And there's a couple of things that maybe we need to examine. You know, King David in Psalm 51 verse 2 cries out to the Lord, "Restore the joy of my salvation." And at times we have to ask the Lord to come and help restore the joy that should be there. Now, David lost his joy because of the sin of adultery. And today it may not be that you have committed a moral sin, but maybe today it was something that you didn't do. Maybe you didn't invite God into your situation and your circumstance. And maybe today you're trying to sort your circumstance out and try and get a bit of joy about you by doing external things, when really you need to be seeking the Father's face and allowing him to be with you in his joy, as he is a person of joy. Maybe you need to apologize to the Lord for that. Become obedient. Pray it back into your life. Become obedient to do what he wants us to do. Have a reflection on what the Lord has done for you already, that he is forgiving and he will forgive you. He will cleanse you and he will make you walk right. Or maybe it may have to do with some relationships, and that's why your joy is being robbed. Maybe there's something not right in a relationship. Philippians 2 verses 2 to 5 says this: fulfill you my joy, that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, disunity can bring a lack of joy to our lives. And yet the Lord is saying for us to work at this and be at the same mind, one with the other. Maybe you need to forgive somebody today. Maybe you need to just spend time with somebody and talk it out with them to find that that joy will come back into your life. Or maybe today it has been because your focus has been somewhere else. Romans 14, 16 to 15 tells us this: the kingdom of God is not about meat or drink. In other words, earthly things, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So maybe today the reason why you've lost your joy is because your priorities have been all wrong. You've been focusing in, and today, because of all our circumstances, we can fear can creep in, and we can try and work out our circumstances in ourselves. But the Lord is telling us that His kingdom isn't about the externals. His kingdom is all about righteousness, about His peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We need to keep our focus on our God who is within us. Work with Him. Back to what we said earlier on, abiding in Him. Through submitting our lives to Him, our wills, not running off doing our own thing, but keep submitting everything. If you're anxious about your work situation, if you're anxious about your home, if you're anxious about making ends meet, friends, you need to invite the Lord into this and realize that He is God and follow His leading and His care and allow His joy to fill your life once again. Joy is fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, we must be rooted within the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 6 says this. It tells us about the Thessalonians could not go through their affliction without the joy of the Holy Spirit. And how we need to bring the Lord into everything that we walk through by His Spirit and allow His Spirit to enhance our spirit with godly joy. So this morning, church, it's good to relate to Christ Jesus on His level. We come to His level and we know that He is one of joy. He was brought to this world through the angels saying joy has come because of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ of His salvation. So therefore we need to have joy to honor Him. And just like love is the fruit, we also need to allow joy to be produced in us by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, friends, let's rejoice in the Spirit of God in our lives. And if you have problems thinking that God could ever be joyous about you, then, friends, I want you to think about this benediction as we bring this message to a close this morning. Jude 24 and 25, and it says this: Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Church, He is working in us and through us with joy. So let's respond on His level and be a joyous people because of a God who dwells within us, who is a joyful God. May the Lord bless you.